We're in the middle of Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. We just started it. We started off with the Vilna Gaon that Haman was, he was in a fix because he was in front of the king and the queen, so he couldn't tell the queen what he'd want her to hear in front of the king, and vice versa, so he was really stuck. The Pasuk says, Esther said, Ish tzar v'ayev Haman arazeh. He's a man, he's an oppressor, he's an enemy, he's Haman, he's evil, and he's this one, this Haman Araza. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Tezayin, tells us something very, very, very thought-provoking. The Gemara says that she was pointing towards Achashverosh. Ish tzar v'ayev, he's a man, he's an oppressor, he's an enemy, and she was pointing towards Achashverosh. Now that was not a good thing. You don't point towards somebody and call him an oppressor and an enemy if you need something from him. As true as it may be, she was pointing towards him, and Bezos Hashem, a Malach, came and turned her hand towards Haman. I mean, this is the second time we encounter a Malach turning. The first time, remember, when Achashverosh, he didn't want to look at her, so the Malach twisted his neck and he went, ouch. And here, Malach came and turned her hand towards Haman.
Not only that, but she also changed what she was saying.
Yeah, so obviously Pshat in the Gemara is that she intended on saying it and pointing towards Achashverosh. When a Malach turned her hand towards Haman, she understood that she should finish off her sentence differently than she intended to.
What's Esther's Havamina in trying to scream at Achashverosh?
Well, why she thought he was an enemy is not a problem. Achashverosh was Russia incarnate.
No, to say, to think, and then, well, how, if you're going to be saved, pointing at Achashverosh and screaming at him is not going to be the way.
Right, so you want to know, like what was she hoping to accomplish by telling him the truth? I mean, it's the truth. Yeah. That is what she thought about him, but what was she hoping to accomplish? The Vilna Gaon addresses this, and this is what I'm a halach here. You have to bear in mind, this, you know, the setting. See things from Esther's perspective. Esther was not standing in front of Achashverosh. We've said this time and time again, and here's where you really see it. She wasn't standing in front of Achashverosh. She was mouthing words of prayer. Her eyes were directed upwards. She wasn't looking at him. She wasn't addressing herself to him. Her heart was in the Beis Hamikdash. She was talking to the Malach. We saw this by, and the Malach answered her. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was carrying on a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remember the Chasam Sofer, that she's asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to save the bodies of the Jewish people and the souls of the Jewish people. And the Malach told her, At Chatziya Malchus V'Seyas, I will grant half of your request. And then she davened again, and Kadosh Baruch Hu answered again, I'll give you the other half of your request. She is in a spirit, she is in a state of prophecy. She is carrying on a dialogue with Kadosh Baruch Hu. She is not standing in front of Achashverosh. With that, we can understand, you know, this pasuk as well. She was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save her from Achashverosh. Who was the instigator? Who was the one that gave Haman the power to do this? Haman, as an individual, as a high court official, was powerless to kill out the entire Jewish people. As much as he hated the Jewish people, as much as he was angered by Mordechai's show of disrespect, he's powerless. He's one person. He has no army. He has no nation. Achashverosh is the one. He is the one that Achashverosh put the batteries in him. He's the true enemy. Who's the real enemy? The enemy or the one that arms the enemy? You know, lately, Baruch Hashem, as a result of the terrorist attacks against the United States, it became a federal crime on the same level as a terrorist act to be involved in terrorist funding. The United States finally caught on that if there's no terrorist funding, the terrorists can't blow things up. So they, you know, they catch these underground foundations, these so-called charitable foundations that they're funding money to terrorists, and then they bring them to court and they put them away. And it's not just a misdemeanor. Achashverosh funded Haman. Achashverosh energized Haman. Achashverosh gave him power. She was davening because Kadosh Baruch Hu should save them from Achashverosh. East Sarva Oyev. She was davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Maisa. And when she was pointing him out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you ever had this, you know, you could think about something and then there's like an involuntary physical response. I mean, a lot of it is reflected in the face. You know, if somebody tells you something upsetting, even you might not even realize it, but all of a sudden your face undergoes a change. There's all kinds of body movements. You never realize it. You're happy, you're sad, you know. A lot of times I'm talking to somebody and they'll say, "How come you're laughing at me?" I didn't even realize I was laughing at him. I didn't even realize. You know, like I one time rented a car. This is years ago, before I had my own car. I rented a car, and there was a lady that she brings me to the car with the keys, and you know, she opens the door, I get in, and she said, "Okay, do you want me to show you how to use this?" And I didn't even realize it. She said, "Why are you laughing at me?" I said, "I'm not laughing at you." She said, "You're laughing at me." Because I didn't realize it, because in my mind I was thinking, hey, it's very funny that this lady is going to teach me how to use a car. I thought that was very funny. But I didn't realize I was laughing. It's like the physical and the spiritual, they're connected. I mean, I told her I wasn't laughing at her. I said, I said, "I'm happy that you're willing to be so helpful." That's all, you know. I don't think she bought it. But it's too bad, you know. She has to live with it. I thought it was very funny at the time. She wants to show me where the lights are and where the brakes are.
How can you rent a car without knowing how to drive one?
I thought it was funny. No, 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 it's a, whatever. So Esther, you know, her neshama was in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Her neshama was pointing at Achashverosh. That's okay. But when her body is connected to the neshama, started reacting and pointing towards Achashverosh, and she wasn't aware of it, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach to stop. That's how the Vilna Gaon explains the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon explains the Gemara that way. I'm saying it just shows you something. I mean, you think we can understand people from that generation? Could we ever be standing in front of a king and our life is on the line and the Jewish people's life on the line and forget that we're even there? Do you think that could ever happen to any one of us? The Kadmainim, the early ones, the people in the time of Tzadok, they were Mekusha, Belevin, and Nefesh with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The physical world, they walked in the physical world. You know, once in a while they remembered that they were there. Haman Nivas. Hamas was trembling. He was trembling. The Rakeach says that Haman was experienced a death rattle. He was possessed with the fear of death, as if he was dying. I mean, that could be understood on a very basic level because the queen just fingered him out. She just pointed him out. But the Rakeach quotes another Gemara. There's a Gemara Megillah. Daniel with Chagim, Ischai, and Malachi were together, and there was some kind of prophetic vision that was revealed, and Daniel understood what it was. He understood it, like it was revealed to him, a prophetic vision. And Chagim, Ischai, and Malachi were afraid. They were possessed with fear, and they weren't privy to the contents of this prophetic message. So the Gemara said, so why were they scared? You know, Bishlama. You know, Bishlama. That's good. If you get a prophetic vision, that's scary. But if they didn't get the vision, if Daniel got it, so why were they scared? So the Gemara says,
scary that they lost their vision?
How did they know?
Because they could tell that he got it and they didn't.
No.
No?
No. So the Gemara says, "Iu lachazi mazli chazi." They didn't see the mazel. So we're aware that there's a higher part of a person that we're sometimes not aware of. We know it's there, but we're not consciously in touch with it. And that's the person. That's the person is the body, and there's the soul, and then there's the all the different parts of the soul, and then there's the person. There's the person, and the person is very big, and we don't, you know, a person's very high. And there's a part of the person that sees things that, you know, that it's not stored in conscious memory. I mean, for example, when somebody dreams, or when they have a nevuah, you know, whatever. There's a part of the person that's very high. There's a part, you know, you all know the analogy, you know, when a person goes to sleep, and the Neshama goes up to Shemayim, and tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu everything that he did, and, you know. I mean, you obviously understand not to take that mamish literally. Hashem knows what the person did without the Neshama going to Shemayim. But there is a chiluk of a person that's in constant touch with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not always conscious. And the Gemara calls that the mazel. I mean, I call it the core of the person. There's the outer trappings of the person, the appendages of the person, and then there's the person. And this is the core of the person. And Haman was very much not in touch with his core. But still, the Rekach said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Malach Gavriel. And the Malach Gavriel took a sword and killed Haman's mazel. So Haman was dead. He just didn't realize it yet. The Nivas. Nivas means he felt his death. He didn't realize what it was. He felt his death. He was dead. The Gemara Baba Kama talks about how a shor becomes a muad. The Gemara says muad lebehem is not a muad leadam. Just because it gores an animal three times doesn't mean it's a muad for a person. Nafkamin la'alach as if you pay nezuk shalem achatsi nezuk. The Gemara says shani adam disle mazle. It's harder to kill a person than it is to kill an animal. He has a mazel. So a mazel, you see the Gemara is saying, a mazel of a person, whatever that is, but you see that a mazel of a person is something that keeps him alive. So when the mazel's killed, then there's nothing keeping the person alive. I'm not going into it. I mean, we don't really need to go into it to understand the pasuk. But killing the mazel means the person's dead. It's just he doesn't know it yet. He will die. He will die. There's a mice with one of the... I forgot who it was. It was myself, one of the Gdelim in Europe, like 150 years ago, recent, you know, one of the Gdelim in Europe. They did a shiloh about a lady that her husband disappeared and whether she's allowed to remarry. She was an aguna. She was a chained woman. And based on the evidence that was presented in front of the son of Gadol, he passed her husband is dead and she could remarry. It wasn't based on two witnesses' testimony, but there was enough evidence that a pitara. Then there was a rumor that the husband was seen alive somewhere. A rumor, an unsubstantiated rumor. So they asked this Rav whether she should hold off on getting married until they confirm or, you know, or discount the rumor. And he said, the Torah paskens he's dead. He said, I pasken up the Torah. There's certain guidelines where the Torah says that he's dead. That means up the Torah he's dead. So even if he's alive, he's going to die. That's what he said. Before she gets married, he will be dead. So even if the rumor, he was seen. But when she marries, he's dead. Because if the Torah says he's dead, he's dead. This is my machine now. A person could, for all intents and purposes, be walking around, but he's dead. Torah paskens, he's dead. He's dead. Let's go on to the next pasuk. Rabbeisa. Are we finished here? The Yeshiv Lakuk adds on to the Vilna Gaon that we said last week, that Haman was stuck. You know, Haman, the Yosef Lukach says that if Haman would have begged right then, like begged.
Begged for what?
Whatever, you know, just like in general. He couldn't be specific and tell Esther, I never would have done it if I knew it was your people, because Achashverosh knows that he's a despicable liar, and he couldn't tell Achashverosh, you know these people don't deserve to live because you can't take them in front of Esther. So it was just like a general begging, a formless begging, like, whatever I did, I'm sorry, you know, whatever I did, I'm sorry. Yitzhak Lukach says that Achashverosh would not have killed him. It's not easy to kill your viceroy for doing something which he probably knew all along that he did. By most Mepharshim's accounts, Achashverosh was in on it. By most Mepharshim, he knew the details. I mean, we had some exceptions. We said, you know, he had some exceptions. But by most accounts, Achashverosh was, you know, he was in. He was in on it. It's not so easy to kill someone. This is a powerful person. Because what did Haman do wrong? He asked the king. The king gave him permission. He gave him the power. Achashverosh is just as guilty as Haman. It's not so easy to kill someone. If there'd be any show of remorse, if there'd be any thing that Achashverosh could gloss over the whole thing, he would not have killed him. But Haman made a cheshbon. I can't just apologize, because what am I going to apologize? I can't tell Esther I never meant it, because Achashverosh knows I'm a liar. I can't tell Achashverosh they deserve to die, because Esther's standing there. So he said, I should wait. So he decided to wait. That was the biggest mistake of his life.
Why is it a problem if Achashverosh being there? He knows he's a liar anyway. He knows all the intentions. Achashverosh just wants a show.
No, lying would not be a good thing right then. Lying to the queen is not a good thing. It doesn't matter. Achashverosh would still get angry. You can't get away with that. That's a false apology. You say that I never would have done it if I would have known. I don't think that would calm down Achashverosh's anger. Bear in mind, Achashverosh didn't want Esther to die. And if the Jewish people had to live so Esther should live, Achashverosh would spare them also. Esther is the key player here. So what did Haman gain by waiting? So Haman thought, he'll wait till get one of them alone. And that's what happened. He waited, Achashverosh left, Haman said, oh good, so now I'll get Esther alone. And then after I tackle Esther, I'll get Achashverosh alone. And what happened? We know that by some accounts, the Malach pushed him on the bed, Achashverosh walks in, Achashverosh looks at Haman in a compromising situation, and he kills him. So if Haman hadn't waited, if he would have begged for forgiveness before, so he never would have died. So why did he die? He outsmarted himself. And this is, you know, in character. Everything that Haman did, put the noose around his head even tighter, and then he pulled the lever and he killed himself. So Haman, you know, b'nahafachu. Whatever Haman did worked against him, including this. Pasuk Zayin. V'amelech kam b'chamasa, he got up and he was angry. V'mishteh yayin, from the wine feast. Alginas Abisan, the garden with the small houses. We know what that place was. V'haman amen levakash al nafshe. V'haman, he stood to beg for his life. Me'astra amalka. Kira, because he saw kikosi lavara. The evil is complete. There's no appeal. Kalsa means complete. Me'asam elok from the king. There's a Gemara and a Targum. There's a Gemara and a Targum on what Achashverosh saw when he went out there. The king lifted up his eyes, this is the Targum, and he sees 10 Malachim. But they appear in the form of the 10 sons of Haman. Masquerade. There's a lot of masquerades in Megillas Esther. Masquerade. You know, Eliyahu HaNavi masquerades as Chavayna, the Malachim masquerade as Haman's sons. There's a lot of masquerades in the Megillah. Esther's masquerading as, you know, as someone that doesn't know her origins.
That's
Pshat and the Customs? That's definitely Pshat and the Customs. They masqueraded.
What? He says you need to have his close for Elio to show up here as you.
It doesn't say Elio here, it says the Malachim.
I know, we said that by Chavon,
Yeah, no, so I didn't say it here.
Malachim, you don't need his close, they can disappear.
I don't know, I just didn't say it by Malachim. I don't know. Ten Malachim, they didn't have a close, if that's what you're asking. 10 sons of Haman had no schus. They were 100% evil. By Chavarna, the reason why we said it is because we say Begam Chavarna Zachar L'Tayiv, and if it was Eliyahu HaNavi, why do we say that? By Malachim, we never said it, so I'm not responsible because I never said it. I'm irresponsible. So the 10 sons, and they're chopping down the trees in the garden. So he was angry, and then he got even more angry. And he goes back inside because he went outside to allow his anger to dissipate. And what he saw outside was even more horrifying than it was inside. And he goes back inside and he sees Haman in that position.
He just saw them and he walked away?
He was angry. Yeah, because Haman's 10 sons, he went to their father. Stop them! He goes and runs in, you know, the 10 sons, and he goes back in. He wants to grab Haman. Who knows what Haman's doing inside? If the kids are destroying his palace, Haman's in the palace with the queen. Wouldn't you run back inside? They're holding axes. What do you think Haman's holding? I mean, what's your Shiloh? First thought, run back inside. Protect the queen.
What does he think's going on?
Haman's maybe murdering the queen.
Well, I was saying, what did he think is going on?
A rebellion, a coup.
He thinks that he's killing Haman's
getting killed. Everybody, everyone's getting killed. And he's next.
He just lost it.
Well, what would you think?
I don't know.
You see 10 sons of Haman destroying your palace.
They're destroying the garden?
He was suspicious, remember?
Yeah, because he saw the
dream. Because in the dream, and Esther invited Haman.
Right.
He was suspicious. And the Haman falsified the records. Yeah. This is the culmination.
The records with Mordechai saving
Esther. Yes. Yes, so Haman falsified that, or Haman's son, there's a whole plot. That's what the Targum says. The Gemara says something different. The Gemara says he saw people chopping down the trees, but they weren't in the form of Haman's sons. I don't know who they were. They were just anonymous people chopping the trees down. And he asked them, who are you? What are you doing here? And they said, Haman sent us to chop down these trees, which is just as good, you know. So that's two versions.
Not Malachim, just random people.
It doesn't say who they were. He saw men. The Galashim Gemara saw men. There must have been some kind of nace. It could have been men. Hashem could send men. If Hashem could send Malachim, he could send men too. What? Why not? Just send men. Yeah, why not? He gives them an idea they should go. Okay. I mean, you know, at certain times the people lose their rights to Bechiri. You could have chosen people that lost the right to. I mean, whatever. This is all theory. It's all theory. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done it. Hashem took away power as Bechira. I'm just saying, it's possible in theory.
For him, though.
It's possible.
For someone else's punishment? It's possible.
No, maybe they're people in Haman's cronies that they deserve to lose the Bechira.
Yeah, but to make them think that they're doing.
I don't know. I don't see the problem. I didn't see it anyway. I don't see the problem in saying that Hashem sent men.
Yeah, I can understand.
Hashem could send men. Hashem could send men using the Bechira.
Yeah, but how could he send them using the Bechira, saying that Haman sent them?
All right. So I must agree that it would be a lot simpler if it was Malachim than men. It would be a lot simpler with Malachim than men. So he tricked, you know. The Vilna Gaon says, you know, he's basically fooling Achashverosh, because Achashverosh would not have killed Haman if he had known that these were angels and not Haman's sons. So Yaham is being killed under false pretenses. Right?
No.
Yes, because Achashverosh is killing Haman for something he didn't do.
No, he was killing Haman because he was angry at him.
He was angry at him because he thought that he's making a rebellion. Haman was not making a rebellion.
Who said he wasn't making a rebellion?
There's no evidence to support it. He might have wanted to, but he didn't do any. He didn't take any steps towards it.
So? If you think that they're going to be rebellious,
you don't know that. Could you point to one bit of evidence in the Megillah that Haman was really rebelling?
No.
I mean, just that's your estimation of his character. Rebellion? Make taste it? Rebellion? Chopping down the trees? He didn't. And the Vilna Gaon says, we say in the Pasuk, we say it on Shabbos a couple times, La'gid ki yashar Hashem, Hashem is straight. Tzuri, he's a rock. Law of Lassabo, there's no crookedness. When Hashem punishes people, he punishes them with righteousness. And here, he's using sheker to punish someone. The Vilna Gaon says, you know, there's a precedent. There's a precedent to this. It brings a medrash, it's an interesting medrash by the Yam Suf. You know, we all have this question. Everyone should have had this question every year when Parshas B'Shalach comes around. The Jews went into the sea, it split for them. Why did the Egyptians go in?
What do you mean, why did they go in?
Don't they realize what's going to happen? Now, can't they see it coming?
Why would you see it coming?
Because it's a miracle. They went through a whole year of miracles. Every single one of the Asara Makas, the locusts filled Egypt. Not a single locust in Goshen. They had a cup of blood and a cup of water, a cup of blood. The Jew drinks from a straw. You know, you did that project in class. I'm sure you did. Water comes up. The Mitzri drinks from it. The blood comes up. Every single thing Hashem did, it was clear. It was for the Jews. It wasn't for the good. It wasn't a single animal, a single locust, not a single lice, not one lice.
Didn't Paro persuade them? Originally, they didn't want to go. And then Paro told them that when you come out, I'll give you like your best portion.
Blah, that blah, blah. Is suicidal to go into the Yam Suf. To run after the Jews, they ran into the Yam Suf. How could you? I know. True. But that's the unknown. You're going out. You're going after them. And then it's the unknown. But when you see, you trap them.
Didn't Hashem also confuse the Mitzrayim?
That's once they were in it. You trap them. There's no way out. You've got them. And then the sea splits, and they go in. In Yiddish, you say, Medavzai Meshigge. Meshigge? Meshigge? So there's many answers to this. I mean, not so many, actually. But there's a medrash that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Mitzrayim to see an illusion. The Jews, when they went in, they're walking on a riverbed, and then there's water on the right side of them and water on the left side of them. That's what the Jews saw. But the Egyptians didn't see that. If they had seen that, they never would have gone in. The Egyptians saw regular desert. Hashem caused the Yam Suf to totally disappear. There's no water flowing on the right side, water flowing on the next side, or you're going to the Medrash, 12 caverns, you know, with fruit trees growing from it. It looked just like anything else, so of course they're going to run. They didn't see any reason not to run. They're running, they're chasing. And then the Jews, go. And it looks like the Jews are walking on regular land, so there's no reason why not. So the Vilna Gaon is the same question. Kill somebody by tricking them? And the Vilna Gaon says yes, because it's a evil of Lassabo does not mean that Hashem will never use Sheker. Hashem does use Sheker. Hashem uses Sheker against people that deserve it. Of Lassabo means everyone gets what they deserved. There's always a balance. There's always a harmony. There's a fairness. Liars get punished with lies. And Haman was a liar. Haman was a Baal Lashon Hara. Haman was a liar. Haman, there was not a bone of emes to Haman. There was nothing emes about him. He was Kulei Sheker. There wasn't anything he did that was emes. It was completely and totally Sheker. He was an Eved to Mordechai. Did he act like one? See, you want to make a list of all his lies? is an eved to Mordechai. How'd the Beis HaMikdash get stopped? They had permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. His sons lied and told Achashverosh that the Jews are fermenting a rebellion. Stopped the Beis HaMikdash. Haman said the Jews, they don't keep the king's laws. They're not loyal. They don't pay taxes. We're not, one lie after another. He never told the truth. One thing after another. And even now he was prepared to lie. Like we said before, he couldn't lie because the king and the queen were there together. He was stuck with his lies. Liars, Tzuriva Avasim, Hashem is straight, Hashem is yash, Hashem is just. And that's why liars, that's exactly the reason why. That is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Haman by sending Malachim disguised as Haman's sons. Hashem chose that because Haman deserved to die with a misrepresentation. Haman deserved to die with a masquerade.
He brought a riot from Paro?
And Paro also lied. Paro never stopped lying. This time I'm going to let you go. This time I'm going to let you go. The next time, okay, daven to Hashem to take it away, and I'll let you go. All right, what about the big lie? We're all going to build Mitzrayim together. I'm going to work also. The Jews, we're all going to work together. Yeah, yeah, they don't work.
Paro
had Bechira.
In the beginning he did.
It was taken away at a later stage. He had a, sure he had a Bechira. You don't, no one gets punished without Bechira. One of his punishments was that he lost his Bechira. But he chose to lose his Bechira. Paro was the ultimate liar. He's a liar. He enslaved the entire Jewish people by lying. He's a liar. Liars get punished with lying. It's Hashem B'dafka. Made it look like there was no Yamsuf, because that's the great lie. Because Paro, he wanted to prove he was a god, right? So he never went to the bathroom. He went early in the morning. You see what I'm saying? You know, he didn't just lie. He was a lie. Haman was an eved to Mordechai, and he lived a lie that Mordechai had to bow down to him. Is there a greater lie than that? I mean, did you ever think of this? Shalom. You understand what I'm saying? Paro was a lie. Haman was a lie. So they die as a lie. The Yosef Lekach tells us a seif teves in the Mahalach, in the same Mahalach as the Rekeach, but this is from the Yosef Lekach. The words ki kalsa elav hara'a, that the evil is going to come to an end. Ki kalsa elav hara'a, the evil is going to come to an end. If you take the last letters of those four words, what do you get? Ki kalsa elav hara'a, yudke vavke. Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Haman to an end. That's why Chit Kevavke, and that's why it's at the end. Because it signifies Haman's end. Kikos Elavara. Pasuk Ches Vashav Melak Shav, he returned, Meginas Abisan, from the garden with the small houses, on Beis Mishta Yayin. Vahaman Neifel Alamita. I mean, it's sort of obvious here. I didn't see this anywhere, but it's sort of obvious here that Esther, resisting so much, I mean, we saw her biggest pachad was that Achashverosh should take her and have intimacy with her and defile her. You know, this was her pachad, and she was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she should remain pure and she should remain married to Mordechai. So it was a kapara to what the Jews did in the Ginas Bistan HaMelech. And the Ginas Bistan HaMelech is making an appearance again. So it seems like until that was niskaper, until that was atoned for, then they're not going to get rid of Haman. And Achashverosh returned from that place, and it shows that that what the Jews did in that place is no longer being held against them. L'chayr. V'Haman Neivel Alamita, Haman is falling. Take note of the present tense. He is falling on the Mita. Asher Esther, Allah, Esther was on the meter. You know the Gemara. In those days, they used to eat Behaseba, they used to eat on beds. You know, the Goron Duff Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, people, they ate quicker that way because there were less distractions. It's a Goron. Because if you're sitting up, so you go here, you go there. But if you're lying down, you're not moving, you eat, you know, you're more focused on the eating. Esther was on the mita. And Haman is falling. And the king said, Agam Lichbush is a marker. Do you want to capture? Lichbush means to capture the queen. Imi with me, Babai's in the house. Hadavi Yatzim and Pi Amelach. The word came out of the mouth of the king, and Haman Chafu, and the face of Haman was Chafu. Chafu has numerous connotations to it. Haman Chafu. It's usually understood as covered with shame. He was embarrassed. No. Targum. King came back from the garden. He was angry. And Gavriel, Hamalach, his angels. Gavriel, remember the Rekach said Gavriel and Hamalach killed Haman's mazel. So Gavriel is coming to finish off the job. This is like an enactment.
Haman had like a special powerful mazel.
Yes, Haman had the strongest mazel of all. It was not easy to kill. Gavriel Malach pushed Haman on the bed. Gavriel is the Malach of Din. The sherish of the word Gavriel is Gvura, power. He's the Malach of Din. And he pushes her. And according to the Targum, Achashverosh, you know, Gavriel made it look like that Haman wanted to commit an atrocity with her. It's the way, you know, the Malach was able to set it up that way. I mean, the Malach, you know, pushed Haman in a way that it looked like Haman was trying to violate the queen. That's the Targum. And Achashverosh couldn't believe it. Rashi says the same thing. He says, yeah, I can't believe it. It's crazy. This, you know, he just couldn't believe it. You know, it's like, you can't. You know, it's like, you're out of your mind? You're out of your mind? With me in the house? You do such a thing? There's no words for it. That's how they learn the Pasuk. Like, what punishment is there for a person like this? That's the Targum. Alright, so according to the Targum, Malach pushed him. The Eben Ezra has a more world, Elam Hazadik Pshat, I guess you call it. The Haman. Haman wasn't planning on looking like that. He wasn't planning on being found in that position. The Eben Ezra says that Haman was bowing down to her feet. Remember, Amalek, they survive. They have no scruples, they have no moral, they have no backbone. They'll do anything. They will not die for an ideal. That's not an amida of Amalek. Yishmael might do that. Yishmael does it. As we so painfully see in our times. And Amalek, they only have one value, and that's to survive to destroy the Jews. And if they're dead, they can't destroy the Jews. Amalek has to live, and they'll do anything, and they will lick boots. So Eben Ezra says he was going to lick her boots. I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of brazenness to have been found out as the one behind the plan to destroy the entire Jewish people, and at the same time to think that you can get away by looking at her boots, but, you know, that's Amalek. I mean, this is something which is rooted in fact. In World War II, when the Allies overran Nazi Germany, so you had the commandants and the officers that were in charge of the death camps, and when the ones that didn't manage to run away from the onrush of the Allied troops, and they greeted the soldiers with such gemutlichkeit, you know? The cooperation and the benevolence, and I never did any of those terrible things. They all ran away, you know? And they were just like, they were looking good. They were so nice and being so helpful and, you know, so courteous. And the prisoners themselves pointed them out to the Allied soldiers, and in many cases, either the prisoners killed these Germans themselves, or the Allied soldiers killed them because they saw the things that no human being could ever see. Those things never be the same. You know, the sight that greeted the Allied soldiers when they came in. But the Germans were bootlickers. The arrogant, proud Aryans were bootlickers, and Hamann was no exception. I mean, Hamann was a bootlicker. He's going to survive. He has no pride. He has to survive. So he's going to bow down to her feet. That's not a compromising situation. But Trachisverus would come in and see that. That might work in Haman's favor. You see, he's expressing remorse. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. So what happened? Because when Haman saw he was like bending over. When Haman saw the king, so he was filled with he was filled with fear and panic. He panicked. He fell. And then, you know, the falling didn't look so good for him. So the Targum says it was a malach, Ebenezer says it was the fear, Panset of Achashverosh. In any case, Haman was found in the compromising situation. And the Vilna Gaon says a very similar thing. He said he fell out of weakness. See, he fell either out of malach, fear, or weakness. Those are the three pshatim.
Weakness from what?
From emotional weakness. So basically, you know, so according to these pshatim, it looked like Haman was trying to compromise the queen. The Vilna Gaon doesn't learn like that. There's three pshatim of what it appeared as if Haman was doing. One pshat is that it looked like he was trying to force himself on her, have relations with her, compromise her. And the Vilna Gaon says another pshat. The Vilna Gaon says, I mean, he doesn't look, you know, that's crazy, you know, that Haman would ever look like that. And then you have to explain how that happened, because Haman would never do such a thing on purpose. The Vilna Gaon says it looked like he tried to kill her.
This is also what, he fell out of weakness? Or?
He fell out of weakness, but it looked like he was trying to kill her. Which is a lot more in character. Like Achashverosh wouldn't say that with a question mark at the end of it. If he's trying to force himself on her, Achashverosh would say, I can't believe you're doing this. But if he's trying to kill her, then Achashverosh could believe he's doing it. He's able to do it. He's trying to kill her. And he's embarrassed. And then there's the third shot.
Yetzim had a kavanah to do that, or
no? But it looked like that. But at least it looked in character. I tell you, the difference is Achashverosh didn't end his remarks with a question mark. He says, "You're trying to kill my wife." If Haman was trying to force himself on her, so Achashverosh said, "I can't believe you're trying to have relations with my wife." But if he's trying to kill her, then he's doing it with an exclamation point. Achashverosh is ending his sentence with an exclamation point rather than a question mark. There's a commentary from the Maamor Mordechai which I found quite interesting. He said Haman, no, Haman was trying on purpose. He doesn't learn that Haman, Amalek pushed him, and that Haman fell because of fear or because of weakness. No, Haman was trying to make it look like he's having relations with her. On purpose. Because Haman knew for sure he's going to die. So what do you think he's trying to do? If he knew for sure he's going to die, what do you think he's trying to do?
Kill her too.
He's trying to kill her too. If he could convince Achashverosh that she was with him in the plot, she's a part of the plot, then she'll also die. So the Maamar Mordechai says he was trying to take her down.
If she goes down, it's
the most he can do under the circumstances.
Then maybe the decree will stand.
Maybe it's one less person out of the way. Well, you know, take as many Jews down as he can. But she screamed. Now, if Achashverosh would have walked in before she screamed, it would have looked very bad for her. Ivar's version would have walked in after she screamed. It also would have looked bad for her. Because you can imagine Hama was trying to make it look bad for her. But Akadosh Baruch Hu made it to the split. If he wouldn't have heard the scream, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't hear it. But Akadosh Baruch Hu walked in simultaneous with the scream, so Haman didn't get away with it. Because Akadosh Baruch Hu came back suddenly. Why did Akadosh Baruch Hu come back suddenly? Haman didn't expect him to come back so suddenly. He's going to go off. He's going to cool off. He has time. Akadosh Baruch Hu walked out. He saw the trees being chopped down. See, one late, and he came back suddenly, and he came back before Haman was expecting him to. We're going to have to continue this, Amit Hashem. The minister.